came back and she said that she was going to sell the place. And she gave
Which place?
She came back from India. And I didn't know
But which place she wanted to sell?
Mayermount.
She
came to India, stayed a few months, and Kitty will remember that she was there only 2 or 3 months. Came back to Hollywood, and I didn't know whether she was back or not. And Baba had told her never to come back to Mayermount.
Told her?
Told her that. I didn't know it, but later on her secretary told me that. And then, without telling us that, she came back to Mayermount, and there was some big period of silence, something like that, and then she left. And then I didn't know what to do, so she said, well, just keep wait until I can sell the place. So she turned up with a man who was a businessman, and he pretended to be interested in Baba. And anyway, to make a long story short, he pulled a very dirty trick. He pretended that interest in Baba, and he insisted on having the property in his name. And when that was done, he told somebody else, he said, ha ha, I played a good trick. He said, I'm not interested in Baba. He said, I just said that. And to get the property, and I got a beautiful piece of property, and I'm going to have a big hotel here, and I'm going to have all the psychics. He was a big psychic. He bought a big psychic library. Can you imagine him worse than that? And when I heard that, I wrote to Baba. I knew that somebody was lying and cheating, so I wrote him the whole story, and I said, because I on principle I just hate anybody who tries to cheat somebody else. I always try to, you know, go into the defense.
That your first letter to Baba?
My first letter, and I still hadn't accepted him, because I'd been fooled a couple of times with some gurus, and this time I was going to watch, and I wasn't going to accept anybody until I met them. So I wrote to Baba this very polite, formal letter, and I said, and then I was sitting at the typewriter, and without thinking, I just wrote down, and Baba, if you want Mayermount, I'll keep it for you through hellfire and damnation. I signed it and sent it off. Why did I do that?
Why do you do that?
It's only hindsight that I see from the very beginning of the little string that Baba had me like a little fish pulling me along like this. So anyway, I sent it off, and so he's been doing that all this time. Keep me to my promise. Hellfire and damnation. So he wrote back this very sweet letter that he appreciated it and he loved me very much and that I, by all means, I should keep Mayermount. So then I didn't say anything to the man, but I merely made up my mind that that place is Baba's, is not his. He lied to get it. It's in his name, mind you. Legally, it was his. Gene had started with a board, Mayermount board, and he was to be on it. But when he had it in his private name, the board wouldn't mean anything. He and I were to be on the board. I don't know why I was on it. But anyway, it went on for a long time until finally he kept sending people in, his very, very elaborate psychic people. Margaret Kraft used to come there in the summer, and she knows what went on, and it was really very weird. And I didn't know what to do, but I only knew that that man was not going to get possession of it. Finally, it came to a climax, and he wrote a letter, and he said, I have been sending a lot of people interested in my in putting money into the place with me up to Mayermount. I don't know if he called Mayermount or not. And he said, they always come away and they say, no, they're not interested. Now, what are you doing? What are you and that Mayor Baba doing to these people? And he claimed Baba's a black magician and I was under his powers and all that nonsense. So after a few letters, I got very angry and I wrote him a letter. I said, look, stop this, writing this nonsense. And I said, the place isn't yours. It belongs to Mayor Baba. Make up your mind to that. And I said, from now on, I'm not going to write to you anymore. I'm not going to answer any of your stupid letters. And I sent it off.
The man I'll pull you.
So he'd keep writing and writing.
Who is the you?
Bosford. Bosford.
Oh, my God.
She sold it to this man, Bosford. A businessman, because she was sick and tired of his financial thing.
Bosberg,
B-O-S-B-E-R-D. He was just a ruthless, well, he was just interested in psychic stuff. So anyway, so I received no more letters, and then John Cook turned up.
Who is that now?
Well, now John Cook, he was the heir of the grandson of the Cooks who founded Hawaii, the island of Hawaii.
Oh.
And he was a sweet guy. I liked him. Even Monty called him Lovable John at one time. And I liked him. He was he didn't do anything. He didn't have to. But his family wouldn't keep him on the Hawaiian Islands because he disgraced them. He danced and he played around with art. But he just wasn't a businessman. They only appreciated somebody who could make money. Anyway, his whole family rejected him. The poor guy wandered around all over the United States, basically very lonely, but all the money just in the world to spend. Well, finally it happened that, now again, a very strange thing. We didn't have a telephone. We were down in the town telephoning, and there were things that they had to sell, and Jean was in the booth, and she said, "Yeah, come up to Marymount, and we've got this and this and this to sell." So a young man came up, and he said, "Marymount, is that Mayor Baba's place?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, we heard about it from Irina Machiavelli in New York. She was giving a lecture." And he said, "We're out here in California. We bought a farm." And we said, "Where is it?" And it was right below Marymount, the bottom of the mountain. Mm-hmm. So they were very excited. They came up the mountain. And they lived there for a while. But the wife wasn't too interested. She was also sort of a cult. But John, he really loved Baba. So he promised Jean at that time that he was going to pay off the mortgage. But after a short time, they left. And they didn't like Jean either. So then when Jean left the place, I didn't know about John's promise. Well, 6 years later, when Vosberg still had it, one night I came home, and here was John. He'd been in Algeria, traveling all over the world, having a good time. He turned up with an Arab. I found out later the Arab was watching him, because John had a lot of money, and the Arabs in Algeria wanted his money and the money of all the other rich Americans to get rid of the French. He was involved in politics. But they got his interest? They told him that he was the Messiah, that he was a very spiritual person, that he was the Messiah that the Mohammedans had been waiting for all these years. And he believed it.
Who, John said
John
that?
John Cook. They told John Cook that, the Arabs in Algeria. And he believed it. And because he was just spaced out enough so that, you know, he thought he was up to Baba's equal at least. So finally, they... he was persuaded, and he was going to give his whole fortune. He came to America to settle his finances. He said, "Angela, I've got plenty of money left over to pay off the mortgage at Marymount." And he said, "Don't talk around this guy, because he's going to listen." And they deliberately sent him to so that John Cook would come back with the money. Mm. So John said, "I'm divorcing my wife, and I'm giving her a lot of money, and I think I have enough left for Marymount." And knowing John, I mean, he was a sweet guy, and I liked him, but he never kept his promise. I said, "Oh, yes, John, thank you very much." And I didn't think anything more of it. He said, "I mean it." And I said, "Oh, I know you mean it, John." So he went off, and he said, "I'm going to phone in a week's time. I'll telegraph you, and you come down the hill and phone." So I received a telegram, went down the hill, telephoned San Francisco. "I've got the money, Angus. But how much is it?" I didn't really remember exact figures. So I was top of my head, I quoted a price figure. He said, "Yeah, I've got that much." Now, he said, "You ask, tell Vosberg to, if he'll sell it and accept the offer." So in the phone booth, I had to call him in Chicago, long distance to Chicago. And I knew that I had to be real firm, because he was a really greedy man and really ruthless. So I said, "Vosberg, I have someone who's going to pay you off." I said, "Marymount's going to come back to where it belongs." And I said, "You're going to accept the offer. Do you understand?" "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Just that." "Well, how much are you offering?" And I quote that. "Oh, God, I'm going to lose money on that." I said, "That's too bad, isn't it?" I said, "You greedy, selfish man." I said, "You lied and you cheated, and now you're grumbling about losing money. And then you're not anyway. You'd be lucky you've got anything." And I said, "I'm warning you. You take it or you're going to be sorry." And I could have gone to court, you know. I really could, but I didn't want to. But I in the last resort, I went. So I got him scared enough. So I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" I said, "Right now, sit down and dictate a letter that you accept my offer and the price and so forth, and send it registered right away. I want it back in 3 days." And I got it. But at the end of it, he rattled on, "Well, we'll lose my, you know, feeling sorry for himself. So John paid it, but he said, "Now, there's another stipulation." He said, "Angus, Marymount is going to be Baba's place, and you can have your school or whatever you want, no strings attached. But my brother-in-law insists that it be put in my name, my personal name again."
Whose personal name?
John's name. And I quickly said, "Well, John, you love Bob as much as I do, so why?" I said, "Why not?" I said, "Your name's as good as mine." And so I didn't think anything of it. And so he wrote the formal letter, the thing went through, they paid off the mortgage. And so for about 6 years, I had no expenses, no mortgage to pay off. They allowed several $100 something a month from my upkeep. So I did what I thought was Baba's work, working with people. I still hadn't accepted Baba, though, mind you, not consciously. Deep down I had, but my stubborn mind said, nah. Well, anyway, I was doing work that I finally, at the end of 6 months, I was teaching and doing things with kids, poverty people. And then at the end of 6 years, John got paralyzed. He had met Baba. Oh, in the meantime, I think it was 52, and I had come to Myrtle Beach, and I had met Baba. And then, of course, that, no question that, I was just an explosion, you know, no doubt. So then I very openly was doing Baba's work. And then John got paralyzed. He said he got polio. He was still in Africa. His family wouldn't have him. Nobody else would have him. And so I said, why don't you come to Marymount? There's sulfur water, and we'll get cured. And he came, and something had happened to him. I don't know what it was. Something happened to his mind. Baba later on went like this, you know. And Adi said, he's mad. I said, well, Baba, everybody knows John's mad, but I didn't take it seriously. And then I found out that he meant he really was, you know. So when he was there, he behaved very badly, and I couldn't have it. And he was taking drugs. And I said, John, I said, you can't do this. This is Baba's place. I said, what's the matter? I said, you're sick, and I want to help you, but you can't do this. And something happened to him. He got very angry, and he said, I want my money back, or I want to be in charge of Marymount. I said, well, look, John, if you make a donation to a church or a nonprofit, you can't come back after 6 years and say you want it back. I said, it's not even legal. And I said, well, furthermore, why did you change your mind? And he sat there very solemnly and said, God has whims, and God changes his mind, and I am God. I said, oh, brother, and I went on. And that was that. He thought he was God.
Really? Something?
He really was. He really was off his rocker. So finally, then his sister came down, the only person in his family who liked him. She came down from San Francisco. I said, look, John, if you want to be in charge of Marymount, I said, maybe you should. Let's write to Baba. Let him decide, okay? All right. So the sister, he and I were going to write to Baba, find out what Baba wanted. I said, if Baba says you're going to have it, okay, I'll walk out. And we were going to write it the next morning early. And I got up and had breakfast and looked around. They were gone. They came back and I said, why don't we write the letter? Well, we already have written it. And we've sent it off. I said, well, what did you say? Well, what we discussed. I said, yeah, but why don't you let me in on it? So they had sent it off. Now, the funny thing is, this is one of Adi's cute little tricks. I got a letter about maybe a week or two later from Adi. He said, Agnes, I am sending you a copy of the letter that John wrote to Baba, which is absolutely mad, and Baba's answer. But don't tell Baba I'm sending it to you. Which I thought was kind of cute. So anyway, here was the letter that they had written behind my back. That John started out, Agnes isn't spiritual enough to be in charge of Marymount. The birds aren't singing. The dogs are unhappy. I found a dead possum in the road, which implies, I don't know, all sorts of catastrophe. He went on this poor, sad guy. And so he went on. And I said, therefore, I think, Baba, that I should stay on, don't you think, be in charge? And Baba's answer was enclosed. It said, I love Agnes dearly, and I trust her implicitly, and she is staying on at Marymount.
She stayed?
She is to stay on at Marymount. So John had brought the mail up, and he knew that I had received a letter from India. He also had received one. He said, you received a letter from India, did you? What did it say? I said, well, you received a letter from India. What did yours say? What do you think? He got very angry. He and his sister packed up, and they left.